You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Play in Alberta, everything stays in Alberta. Revenues from Play Alberta stay in the province. It can help get the Henday built. Have you ever washed a pair of running shoes in the washing machine?
Oh, greetings from fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada, Gregs. No, I haven't, but I hear that if you have white sneakers, specifically white canvas sneakers, it's supposed to work like perfectly. So I just got some. I don't know if I believe it. And if that's a thing, Gregs, and it's actually true and it's one of those life hacks, I might have to try it at some point. How did this come up?
Dude, two things. Number one, when I wash my socks and I'm working out or golf and they're all sweaty, when I take them off, usually they're all sweaty inside, right? So you got to kind of peel them off. So now the inside's on the outside. And then I just throw that in the laundry because I like it to wash the inside more.
Right. I kind of do the same thing, but I don't know if that actually is like a scientific fact that it works better. Is that proven?
Well, unofficially, like, you know, it's a pre-med thing like Strud, so yeah, I'm going to say it's unofficially proven.
Okay. I believe you.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyway, and then Connor, we were just talking about, I'm like, yeah, well, I've washed my shoes. My gym shoes, after they get sweaty for a while, I like to wash them. And, white shoes, man, especially white shoes. But I still remember I had my favorite pair of running shoes all the time. I had a pair of orange running shoes that had like a little bit of green on the side that would kind of light up. And when those things were clean, oh, felt like a champ as a kid. So I just remember not only in the washing machine, but then you put them in the dryer and you just hear that. And that's when I knew there was shoes in the dryer. And we did get a good life hack today, though. One of our listeners told us that you take the shoelaces and then you close the door with the shoelaces. So now your shoes dry. They just don't go around and make noise. And I was like, genius. So try it, Tommy. Try it.
I might have to. And then the other one too, Gregs, is Mr. Clean Magic Erase sponges. If you have white soles on your shoes, those things work amazingly.
Oh, yeah. Those are great. So.
Yeah.
So anyways, you've never washed a pair of shoes. Well, you try it. You and Connor can get into the real world very soon. This just coming down, by the way, Matthew Joseph avoids arbitration with Ottawa. He gets a four-year deal at 2.95 AAV. Of course, he was acquired for Nick Paul. Nick Paul signed a $3 million AAV for 7 years in Tampa, and Joseph gets 2.95. for 4 years with Ottawa. The Oilers cap situation, Tom, it's actually worse than I thought, because I'd forgotten about the overages that they had from last year's bonuses, which is another 900 grand. So yep. The Oilers are actually right now, when you put in, you know, the dead cap space and all the players signed, and I have 11 forwards, which includes Holloway, and I have 7 defensemen, which includes Slater Cuckoo. So even if it's not Cuckoo and it's Niemelainen, like that saves you about 125K, right, for Niemelainen, for argument's sake. So they have 2.5 million right now to sign Yamamoto, McLeod, and a 14th forward. They got to make some moves.
Yeah. And the squeeze is coming up, and it's interesting to see how it's all developing, but you know, even though the Puljujärvi deal got done, and we talked about it yesterday, Greg, like, he still might be a viable trade option. I know Fogle might be. I don't think Barry is anymore, and I know that's a name that's kind of popped up a little bit. But, yeah, it's interesting to see how this is all developed and unfolded, and we'll see what Ken Holland has in store. Because you got to do your cap exercises and get creative with them. So, a bit of a pickle, but I'm sure they're going to find their way out of it, Greg.
If you had to pick today, who do you think, Barry, Fogle, Puljujärvi, or even maybe Yamamoto? I don't know. It's not like Yamamoto's untradeable. So, you know, those are guys. Yamamoto's probably coming in similar to Puljujärvi. Fogle's at 2.75. Barry's at 4.5. Who do you think is the most likely to get dealt?
Yeah, I still think it's Jesse Puljujärvi, just because of the circumstances, where they're at, the team is at. And, you know, I said this yesterday talking to Dusty a little bit. I said, just because Ken Holland said that Jesse Puljujärvi didn't ask him for a trade doesn't mean he's not open to being moved. And I know there's been some discussion and some people saying, well, he didn't ask for a trade. That doesn't mean he wouldn't be open to being moved and the team isn't open to moving him. So that really didn't change the situation at all. So I still think it would be Puljujärvi, maybe Fogle, if there's an appetite out there for Warren Fogle. And we all know what he is. He's a 20 to maybe 30 point guy. He's streaky. He tantalizes you with his speed. He tantalizes you with his skill at times, and then his size more so than anything. But he just doesn't seem to be able to convert. So I think it would be Puljujärvi first, and then I put Fogel in second.
Okay. Yeah, like I think if you're going to move Barry, you can do it because I do, and I said it 3 weeks ago, the Oilers' bottom four defense are skilled, but they're all kind of similar. You know, none of them are 200 pounds. None of them are physical guys. I think you kind of have a different dimension at some point. So I have no problem if they trade Tyson Barry. I think he's a good player. But mm-hmm. the suggestion is you just trade him for like what Bjorkstrand got you, two picks. The problem with that is the Oilers don't have any right shot defense depth. And the only available free agent right defenseman that's even an option is P.K. Subban. John Klingberg's too expensive. And after him, like Anton Stralman turns 36 in August. I don't think he's a viable option at this point.
No, and what are you doing? You're trying to win. So why would you get rid of a legit NHL defenseman that 2 years ago led all defensemen in scoring? Yes, in a weird COVID-shortened season, but he still did. They like him. Like, why would you just get rid of him to be cap compliant? You can find other ways to be cap compliant and still stay competitive. So I just don't think that move makes any sense, especially if you're giving away for picks or for a lesser defenseman. P.K. Subban at this point, Greg's like, I think he's basically chipping on the 18th hole with a beer sitting on the 19th hole waiting for him right now when it comes to his career. And then, yeah, John Klingberg, I don't think that's even a consideration. And then Anton Stralman, no thank you. So I think you're going to look elsewhere to make space for this salary situation. You want to win. You need six good NHL defensemen, 7 and 8 when you get into the playoffs as well, because we see what injuries do to teams in the postseason. So I don't think that would even be a consideration. That's just my opinion, though.
Tom Gazzola joins us, Edmonton Sports Leader, TSN 1260. Looking at a few other things around the world, Tommy, kind of a fun story. Well, I don't know if fun's the right word. The Stanley Cup has been to a lot of different places and a lot of different things, and I'm sure there's some things we've never really heard about it on what you do, but what do you you look at, like, if you had the Stanley Cup for a day, what's the first thing you would do?
Oh man, probably share it with family and friends. I think that would be the number one thing to do. And then I know a lot of guys, especially small town guys or guys from outside North America, get pretty creative with how they handle turning it into a big celebration. I think, you know, eating something out of it, like a nice big bowl of pasta would be lovely with my Nona sauce. I think that would be a great way to celebrate. But Gabriel Landeskog took it around his hometown. I know he took it to his elementary school. And Greg's, he did not leave it out of his sight because he took it to the bathroom and thankfully left it outside the urinals.
Well, yeah, I would hope so. Well, that was a really classy place, though. It had, like, doors on every separate urinal. I'd never seen that before either. Is that, like, a Swedish thing? So
must be. Swedes, man. They're very classy. They're very
nice.
They
are very. It's very, very classy.
Yeah. Have you met a mean Swede before?
No. No. They're like a lot of Gene Prince bays, except with blonde hair.
Yes.
Yeah. That's a really good description of them. I like that. So I like it a lot. One last one for you, Tommy. When you look at the and I want to get to I know you're a big foodie at times, but Rich, I don't know if you've heard this, but Richard Petty, many consider him the king of NASCAR. Did you see what his favorite sandwich is? He revealed his favorite sandwich. Two ingredients: mayonnaise, black pepper, and bread. Nothing else. And, like, gross. A lot of black pepper, dude. Like, I don't know if you've seen it, but I was like, are you kidding me? So mayonnaise, black pepper, and bread. Like, I might say that might be one of the worst sandwiches I've ever heard of.
Yeah. Listen, I know we have our quirks. I know we each have our different tastes in food and stuff like that. I don't like seafood. I think I have an allergy to it. But, Greg's, a sandwich with mayonnaise and then just straight up, like, half inch of black pepper on each side is disgusting. I looked at the picture. I tried to imagine what it might taste like, but that's gross, dude. And this is a guy who would have butter sandwiches in kindergarten in grade one, but mayonnaise on white bread with just a ton of black pepper sounds absolutely awful. And the picture doesn't do it any justice or
that was a lot of pepper.
The cause. Oh, it's awful.
Yeah, like, I love pepper, but I was like, whew, it's too much for me, man. It's too much.
Way too much.
Tommy, enjoy the heat. It's like 32 degrees here today, buddy. It's like we're in Vegas.
Greg, I'm headed back to the pool. I saw a lady reading in the pool. I found that very odd. I put it on my Instagram story. We'll see what else in terms of characters shows up when I go back down there.
All right, man. Good luck.